Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do this.
All right. What's first this week that you feel like you need to talk about?
Well, let's go ahead and just preface and say that we were recording this same night as SmackDown moved to a new night.
Yeah, so we haven't seen that.
Haven't seen that. And NXT also moved to a new night this week. It's on Wednesday now.
Mm-hmm.
Did watch that.
I haven't watched NXT this week yet.
We got the Adrian Neville and Sami Zayn rematch.
Yeah.
You know, obviously it's not going to capture the same like magic in a bottle as the last one did, but still, you know, amazing match.
There's a lot more foregone conclusion in this one.
Right.
Because we're sitting here waiting for the, okay, now it's time for the Kevin Owens.
Right, yeah, and surprise, it was another Kevin Owens after the match. He didn't interfere with the match.
That's good.
It was after.
But you know what? I am very proud of NXT for adhering to that rematch clause.
Yeah. Cool. And they do that pretty much across the board.
And that's that is not a hard rule.
No.
You know what? It is if you have your belt on part-timers.
Yeah.
Rock's like, not gonna
whoever, like, lose. We're assuming Brock is going to lose the belt, at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
We're all assuming that, you know, he's not going to be with the company for much longer, so I highly doubt that Brock is going to do some sort of rematch.
It's like, Brock's not gonna get a rematch and lose again.
Yeah.
And Rock won't.
And same thing with Rock,
yeah. But you know what? When your champion is on the show every week.
Yeah.
Like, hopefully will be soon again.
Yeah.
But, and when they lose, just even like the next night, you have 3 hours to fill.
Yeah.
Just make one of them like for the championship.
Yeah.
I don't know. It hurts me when they don't do that.
Yeah. And you know, and they really like using like those championship matches on Raw for, like, when they're really trying to boost ratings.
Yeah.
So that kind of seems like a good idea to do pretty soon. What? Because ratings are now starting to rebound a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, they've been low, partially through the holidays.
They've been low for the holidays. Also, more and more people's football team isn't in the running anymore.
Well, yeah, and there's no more Monday Night Football, that too.
Yeah.
So you've got all those factors to where we're starting to see a little bit of a rebound. Hopefully WWE is like, oh, they must think our content is great, so let's just, you know, phone it in for the next couple months. Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Please, analyze your ratings and stats accordingly, with all factors, you know, taken account of.
Well, okay, so here's the thing, looking at watching Raw this week. We have one more show before the Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
And there are 3 matches scheduled for the Royal Rumble right now, including the Rumble.
Yeah.
So there's the Rumble, the Triple Threat Championship match, and the Tag Team match.
Well, they did announce the Tag Team match?
Tag Team match, Usos and Miz. Miz and Miz.
Down. Oh, okay, okay.
I have a Tag Team match.
And we're what, like 2 weeks away?
We're one more Raw away.
Okay, okay. So we got the go-home show next.
Yeah, we have one more go-home show.
Oh, it's time to start getting excited about the Rumble.
I mean, it is starting to, like, I'm excited for the Rumble.
Oh.
And I'm very excited. I think I said it last week. I'm like, I'm very excited because I don't know how the Rumble's gonna end.
Right.
You know?
You know, cause there's a couple different ways, like, a lot of people are assuming this is Roman Reigns' Rumble to lose, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's absolutely going to be him. And now this whole the Dana Bryan thing is definitely happening.
Mm-hmm.
Now everyone's like, well, you know, they're not going to make that mistake 2 years in a row.
He's like, are they going to throw Daniel Bryan under the we've already written the storyline bus?
Because let's be honest, like they can try as hard as they can with Roman. He's not going to get the crowd reaction that Daniel Bryan's going to get if Daniel Bryan wins.
And you've put Daniel Bryan in the Rumble.
Yeah.
So from the point that you have to throw him out first, right? Just to hope that the crowd tires of booing by the time in the hour long match.
Dear God, if they WrestleMania 28 Daniel Bryan at the Rumble,
oh,
oh dear Lord,
that's the thing. You're gonna, I don't know. It's very interesting. It's like there's a lot of interesting ways it can go. And honestly, like the Rumble could go on last, or the championship match could go on last. It's a Brock Lesnar championship match, so it could go either way. Fair's fair. And
they've done it, like, you know, just by adding Seth Rollins into it, I'm kind of re-interested in this match again.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look, someone other than John Cena is going to be going up against Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, John Cena's still there, but.
John Cena's still there.
At least they've thrown something.
But like, else in seeing there. Seth Rollins curb stomp Brock Lesnar was like a moment for me.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
We did the classies last week.
Also, I just, just throwing this in there. I've seen a slow motion gif of that.
Yeah.
And dear God, Brock did him some favors. Like, yeah. He, like, full on head first. Like, he, mm-hmm. It was as stiff a curb stomp as I've seen.
Yeah.
But yeah, go on.
Okay, so we did the classies last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked Seth Rollins for, like, my superstar of the year.
Yeah.
And, like, and I stand by that. I think that was a great pick.
Yeah.
But it was, like I said, it was, like, one where, like, really had to think about it. It wasn't, previous
years. It wasn't as clear cut as the years previous.
Yeah, a couple of years, there had been a whole, slew of them. Like, that's mm-hmm. easy. But yeah, so picking Seth Rollins this year. And then just, like, this past episode, I just watched, I was like, yep, good job, Seth Rollins. Because he did, he's very much right. validating. Like, it was a great moment. He went toe-to-toe with Paul Heyman on the mic.
He did.
And held his own, mm-hmm. which is pretty gorgeous.
Yeah, and see, like, that's kind of what I'm almost hoping for, is it feels like Seth and Paul would be a good fit if Brock does leave soon. You know, because our whole thing is, okay, Brock wants to leave, that's up to him, fine. But can we please keep Paul Heyman,
Yeah.
Can we please have that much?
Well,
but that means we have to involve him in something, of course.
Well, the thing is, like, I want to put Paul Heyman with somebody that needs one. I don't think Seth Rollins needs Paul Heyman.
No.
Which is why, when it was Heyman and Punk, as heart of flutter as that was.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't know which one I want to talk.
Well, yeah.
Because whichever one was talking meant the other one wasn't.
Which was fine, because we ended up getting both of them a lot of times.
Well, yeah, and it turned out great when they finally, turned on each other. I was like, that's what I've been waiting for.
Right.
But, if they do go the route where, this is Roman's year, Roman takes the Rumble and goes on to WrestleMania,
mm-hmm.
that's going to be Roman on the mic versus Paul Heyman on the mic for 2.5 months.
Dear Lord, if Roman pulls out another, Looney Tunes catchphrase against Paul Heyman, I'm going to throw something. Maybe someone. I might throw you. I might lawn dart you like the NWO did to Rey Mysterio.
did you see there's a post on Reddit where somebody basically said, they wrote out a script of if WWE made The Rock tell the story of Jack and the Beanstalk in the ring, and they wrote out a Rock script.
Yeah.
And then they did well, here's how Kurt Angle would have done that.
Right.
And it's easy to, sit here and think about, The Rock would have done it perfectly. And The Rock is, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. There's not going to be anybody. I will say that, Punk has gone toe-to-toe and come out on top in a promo battle with The Rock. But, but even then, that was 2013 Rock. That was not The Rock in his prime.
Yeah.
Which was, That's why my heart still goes a flutter when The Rock comes out.
Yeah.
For everything that The Rock did in that stupid championship run, yeah. I still get excited when The Rock comes out because of that original.
Because we know what he's capable of.
What that Rock once was. Mm. And so, but just going through that and looking, I was like, I don't know. They're not giving Roman Reigns great material, but he's doing terrible things with that not great material.
Yeah, no, he's not. Everything seems to be, word for word what he's being handed.
And so, honestly, I would put Paul Heyman with Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
And
he was a lot more effective when he didn't talk as much.
No, and he did, Brock did talk this week, but that amount is fine.
Yeah.
You give him the let's do this line as long as his voice doesn't crack. It's really good.
Or make sure he doesn't make any goat yells.
So, that's the thing. It's there are points, and there have been points in the Brock Lesnar, especially with the Triple H feud,
mm-hmm.
where Brock talked so little, it was weird.
Yeah.
It was a little unnerving.
Or, what was it, the night after, it was, what was it, after it was not a, When did they do unveil the new belt? It was after SummerSlam, right?
Was it after SummerSlam?
Yeah, because that was when they unveiled like the new W.
I was like, I'm trying.
So it was obviously after Brock won,
mm-hmm.
and SummerSlam was like the night where they redid everything as far as logo wise.
Yeah,
you know. So mm-hmm, I think it was like sense. The night after. Anyway, yeah, the promo that Paul was cutting for that night, it was a great promo. But again, it was like, it's kind of weird Brock hasn't said anything. And it's just like the two of them in the ring. And it got to the point where Brock literally was resting on the table behind them where the championship was laying.
Yeah.
He was literally like just like eased up on the table, kind of sitting on it while Paul just kept going. He's just like, yeah, he's talking about me. What's up, guys? How you doing? So, he looked like he was getting almost tired.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I would stick. And that's why I was excited about Paul Heyman and Cesaro.
Yeah.
It was because if Cesaro has a weak point,
it's
his speaking skills. And so, you know, mix some Paul Heyman in there and just let Cesaro shine in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, just gold waiting to happen.
Right. And it was one of those things where it's like, that's kind of where like the whole Paul Heyman guy thing has fallen short with some guys is because, you know, they want to give him that title or whatever, like that, well, not that title, but that, like that label.
The Paul Heyman guy label?
Right. They want to give him that. They want to give him Paul Heyman, but not necessarily give him, like, you know, the rocket ship, almost. You know, maybe like a mid-card belt or something.
Well, that's the thing, is like, something like Curtis Axel, you know, like Lesnar backs up everything that Paul Heyman says.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is like, even, and Curtis Axel didn't. And,
yeah.
I can blame some of that on Curtis Axel. I can blame some of that on...
Like, a lot of hype, like, surrounding him, like, even before Paul Heyman, like, there was a whole bunch of guys, like, legends or part-timers or whatever, like, they would ask them on Twitter, like, who's the best guy on the roster, and everyone would be like, this Michael McGillicuddy guy, like, you know,
yeah.
He's amazing in the ring, he's just never on TV or something like that, like, he was, you know, The Rock, you know, he famously trained with him before he came back to the ring and, like, did a lot of tune-up stuff with him when he was trying to get back into ring shape. And he, like, all he did was sing the guy's praises after the fact. It's like, yeah, Michael McGillicuddy or whatever, like, he's the guy. And so we finally get to it, and they're like, all right, he got built up so much, and they're like, this doesn't live up to it at all.
But the thing is, like, you build a guy up however much, you give him, you know, 3.5 minutes in the ring.
Right.
Whatever.
Right, yeah. You're right.
I mean, the walk down to the ring takes longer, especially if Paul Heyman is promoing as they walk down to the ring. That walk takes longer.
Yeah.
And so, that's the thing is, and, you know, I was talking to somebody and they, like, they didn't see what the big deal of Paige was.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I mean, Paige has done fine, but nothing special. And it's like, you've never seen Paige's NXT stuff.
Right.
It is a completely different ballpark.
Right, because on NXT, they're given a lot more time.
And so that's the thing, is I'll sit here and I'm like, I don't want Sami Zayn to leave. You know, I don't want Aaron Neville to leave. It's a big fish, small pond scenario.
Mm-hmm.
But that match was a match of the year contender, which would be a, you know, 9:38 match that would, you know, maybe be 8 minutes.
Yeah.
But would definitely have a commercial break in it that was taking up 3 of those 8 minutes.
No, absolutely, yeah. And, yeah, that was something that did bug me, like, in the middle of the rematch on NXT, there's a freaking commercial.
Yeah.
Like, it's the Netflix! What are you trying to sell? Like, I forgot completely what it was that they were trying, that was in the commercial, but I'm like, it's on your own freaking network!
Well, it also airs on real TV elsewhere, not in the States.
I know, but so I still hate commercials during matches.
They do need those commercial breaks. So.
Shut up.
Sorry. You're
being correctness.
Sorry.
You jerk.
Okay, but here's the thing that's been interesting to me this week.
Okay.
SmackDown's moved to a new night.
Yep.
NXT's moved to a new night.
Mm-hmm.
TNA's moved to a whole new station.
Yeah, what day are they airing on now?
They aired on Wednesday, but they're going to eventually be airing on Fridays.
So nobody's in direct competition. Fair enough. I mean, that's probably best for everybody.
I think Lucha Underground is on Thursdays.
Yeah. I haven't watched in like a month, but yeah.
Well, here's the thing. So I did watch, I tuned into TNA.
Okay. I've yet to do so, sorry guys.
To check it out. Yeah, TNA was good.
All
like,
right.
Like, I mean, as far as a 2 hour wrestling show that I have not been, you know, I haven't followed the storylines at all for months. And so, you know, like, they open it up and I'm like, okay, Kurt Angle's still on. All right, that's cool. And who's champion? Okay, he's champion. It was Bobby Roode and Bobby Lashley, 3. And I was like, they're,
see, that's why I should watch it, because I've always loved Bobby Lashley.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, you know, they've been hyping up. It's like, they've each won a match, and here comes the third one. I was like, I don't know any of that. Okay, sure, whatever.
All right.
You're not calling this the Battle of the Bobbies, so, like, ball dropped, but let's go.
I like how that's where they failed.
that's a pretty big ball drop in my court.
All right, fair enough.
So, but, I mean, as far as it goes, like, this is a pretty entertaining 2 hours. And, I mean, it was a, I'm not gonna, like, sit here and be like, alright, instant flag, you know, switch. TNA is awesome and better than WWE forever. Mm. But it was like, they put on a better show than Raw did this week.
Okay.
And so, again, the tiniest of hurdles to jump.
Yeah, I mean, and even though, like, I would still argue that, you know, Raw these past couple weeks has been at least a little bit better than what it had been, you know, in the weeks previous to it.
Well, here's the thing. If TNA will take a moment and take stock of themselves, they were dealt a major blow in 2014 with the loss of Spike. Like, they spin it. But there's no real way to spin it.
Right.
They were dealt a major, theoretically, company crippling blow.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
And
instead they found themselves a new home.
Well, they came out by the skin of their teeth.
Mm.
And so honestly, if they can't take on WWE, they cannot take on Raw. Like, that's just, Raw is so big, so much of a staple. It's the first, you know, gate of wrestling that you go to.
Right.
And there's just, everything's miles below it. But, like, TNA can take on Lucha Underground for the number two.
Right.
Like, it's, you know, it's not the Monday Night Wars, but it's, you know, the Thursday and Friday Night Wars.
Right.
And, like, I feel like both of them have a fair shot of, you know, being comparable or beating SmackDown.
Mm. Although I'm pretty sure there's probably going to be some guys that are on both shows. Because they don't have, like, exclusive contracts or anything like that. I don't think. Because I still don't know where Alberto Del Rio's going. He's with Ring of Honor, but he's not exclusive to them.
No, I heard he would be on TNA, but I don't remember if that was, like, a rumor, if that was an actual...
I heard that. I heard he was definitely going to be on Lucha. I don't know if that's actually true or not.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, you know, I don't know, but... you know, but there is with TNA, with Lucha, with SmackDown, and with NXT, there is honest, fair competition for the number two show.
Yeah.
And
I like how we're still counting NXT as like a separate company almost. But you know, they're a different product.
They are, they're different. Yeah. I mean, like, NXT is the best wrestling on. I think that's no question.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Now, NXT is the best wrestling product.
On a weekly basis.
On a weekly basis. Yeah. That we can have access to.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and here's the thing, like, eventually, there has to be some sort of invasion storyline. There just has to be.
Yeah.
And cross that bridge when it comes to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, there'll be like, oh yeah, that is part of the WWE universe and like, yeah, it does exist in this, the same world as Raw.
Right.
But, you know, for right now, no, there's like, Raw, to me, Raw's been fairly disappointing these past several weeks.
No, yeah.
Since TLC. Like, TLC was a really wet fart.
Yes.
And it's just been at that level since then.
Yeah.
You know, it just has. And so, you know, just looking at it, this week and this past week, there were these other options.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been there before, but I haven't always actively explored them.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I haven't had time. I haven't, you know, we've talked about it, like, we've talked about that week where I tried to watch all the wrestling.
Yeah.
It was like...
And every time you tell someone about that, everyone just has that same reaction of, like, you're a brave man.
I thought I could do it. It was just 14 hours.
Okay.
So, I think it was also a pay-per-view week, so...
Yeah, like that Because, like, even on pay-per-view weeks, like, by the time we get done with Raw, I'm just like, I need a wrestling break.
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, when that's 6 hours in 2 days,
Yeah.
But, I don't know, it's very interesting to see if these companies, especially TNA and Lucha, mm-hmm. will take a moment, take stock of themselves.
Uh-huh.
I think there is viable competition for the number two show right now.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And I think SmackDown, you know, the move to Thursday is, you know, hopefully that's an actual thing. Hopefully that's not just a change in time.
Yeah, you know?
But I think that, I think that they could make a play for that, and I think that they should, instead of just trying to be Raw.
I just had a very happy thought.
What's that?
And that's why I was kind of like off in the distance here for a second. For the first time, as far as I can watch the Hall of Fame live this year.
Yeah.
I don't have to work.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's a good thought.
Oh,
we'll have to make that a part of our Laser Mania festivities.
All right, sounds good. I guess that's a good enough time to segue into Macho Man.
Yes. Has
been announced to...
Yes, finally.
...be in the Hall of Fame.
Maybe that's why Vince was so weird about that. He was just like, why... Just like, Steve, shut up. Like, you're ruining our announcement. Stop.
I have to like the two ways of thought are like, yeah, they were gonna do it and Steve kinda messed up the announcement,
or
he bullied them into it and held their feet to
the because like, that was like one of the moments that a lot of people pointed to and be like, yeah, do that, Vince. You know?
And so Vince's like, fine. And, you know, looking at like, they made a pretty nice Macho Man documentary before the podcast. So they probably did have some plans to like,
I'm sure. And, you know, they had Lenny very prevalent on that podcast.
Yeah.
And he was, like, the one person that was very, like, you know, trying to keep to Randy's wishes. Randy was, you know, wishing for the entire Poffo family.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, I didn't see that happening. You know.
It could happen someday because they have X amount of slots to fill.
Yeah.
And I think that they are...
I mean, maybe Randy's father. I'm sorry, Lenny, like, leaping Lenny Poffo, like, come on.
No, I mean...
Honestly, like, I feel like they need to employ Lenny to do some sort of voiceover work. I love that dude's voice.
Yeah.
And he's, like, he's a great talker. So they need to, like, I feel like they need to utilize him now that they're, you know...
On speaking terms?
On speaking terms now. So, yeah, like, the documentary and everything, I feel like that was a good indicator that they're moving in that direction. Like, I still had my doubts that it was going to be this year, but I'm incredibly glad that it is.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much to say because we've said it every year in the past. Like, it should have been Macho Man because of this, this, and this.
No, this year they would have ran out of excuses.
Yeah.
You know? Because we know that, like, they don't like to put too many, you know, post-mortem, like, you know, inductees.
That's the thing, is like, they have one big one, one post-mortem, one celebrity one.
Right.
So is Macho Man the post-mortem one, or is he the big one this year?
I'm assuming he's the one post-mortem, and I'm assuming they're gonna have someone.
Well, that's the thing, is are they gonna have another main event inductee?
They might do Sting.
You think?
Maybe. I mean, he's from California.
Yeah, but...
It's his hometown.
Yeah.
Not hometown, but home state.
But if they do, you realize that Sting will go into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
Before ever having a WWE match.
I mean, there's
match.
Other guys that have done that. Some, like, people who have wrestled other places and never stepped foot in WWE. Like, yeah, they're, like, way older.
Yeah, but Sting will be the first person to have had his first WWE match after being in the WWE Hall of Fame. I'm assuming Ric Flair is the only one that immediately comes to mind of having wrestled
the night after he was inducted. Yeah,
yeah.
He's the only one that has wrestled after he was inducted.
Wrestled after, yeah, other people, I mean, Hogan's wrestled after he was inducted, hasn't he?
Okay, that doesn't count. No, I don't remember. Sure, maybe. My brain is not working right now. I could see DDP getting in this year.
DDP should be in, and that's, especially because DDP got like
two guys in last year.
Yeah.
I think they want to wait until next year for Taker.
Yeah.
Cause they're in Texas next year.
That's fair.
Just interesting side note. Cause you know how like they're moving SummerSlam for the first time in like right. mm-hmm. 5-6 years or whatever from out of LA yeah. to the Izod Center. Read an article that they're shutting down the Izod Center probably at the end of this month.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And like tearing it down.
And why might that be?
I think financial reasons, I think. And they're just upkeep and it's just not worth it anymore.
Wow.
I was like, yeah, they move SummerSlam for the first time in like almost a decade. And
so, wait, does that mean SummerSlam's homeless right now? Or is it just going to go back to Staples?
I don't know. Things are still kind of up in the air for that arena.
Yeah.
And someone else kind of made this connection like earlier, and they were like, you know, they were talking about Elimination Chamber and how it's changed to a different, it's now Fastlane now.
Mm.
And we thought, it's like, okay, well, they're probably just trying to rebrand or whatever. And according to an interview with Stephanie,
yeah.
it was, you know, the
Chamber is too heavy, basically.
The Chamber's too heavy for these newer, arenas who have these giant scoreboards, and it's just, you know, they're unable to do that because it's almost 10 tons of stuff that they've got to hang from the ceiling.
Yeah.
So they can't do it. So they have to, it limits where they have the chamber at.
Yeah.
And at someone pointed out, I was like, well, Izod Center, they're an older building that could hold that.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, okay, well, maybe they'll do the Elimination Chamber at SummerSlam, huh? And so, yeah, throw that out the window.
Well, that's the thing is like, I do, you know, once Stephanie said that, I was like, alright, fine. That's a really good reason.
Right, that's a good, like, logistical reason for them changing that. Like, I hate the name Fastlane. It's awful.
Yeah, I don't like Fastlane.
Cause there's gonna be so many, like, on the road to WrestleMania freaking puns.
Mm-hmm.
We know it's coming.
Yeah, when there's Fastlane and the road to WrestleMania.
But this Izod thing could be kinda interesting. It's not last minute or anything, and I'm pretty sure they'll all find a venue. But it's just funny how that worked out.
Yeah.
Or potentially it might work out. Honestly, I would like to see them maybe have a SummerSlam at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
Because the only time they ever go to the Garden now is for house shows. Because apparently, like, they have to, like, it's some sort of, like, thing at Madison Square Garden where they have to, like, pay a certain amount to have, like, a big televised event. Mm-hmm. At Madison Square Garden now. So that's why we haven't had any Raws, any pay-per-views, or anything at the Garden. Because of that.
Yeah.
So, you know, the only way they can get around it is these big house shows that they've had there. Mm-hmm. When they'll do, like, 2 a year
at
the Garden. Or maybe more. So it's just, I don't know. I would like to see them maybe once just be like, all right, we'll pay the fee, let's have something big at the Garden.
Yeah.
Because it seems like they always seem to, like, pull a little bit extra for the Garden. You know?
Yeah, they do, and it's the Garden, you know?
Yeah. That's
the
kind of thing. And so, like, they wanted to be back on the East Coast for SummerSlam, so they might as well just go all out. If they're able to, you know, coordinate.
Well,
obviously.
We'll see. Like, yeah. It's like, there's so much between now and SummerSlam.
Right, and then, you know, this whole, like, Izod Center might, like, turn around overnight, and they're fine. That was a weird tangent from Hall of Fame, I know.
It was. It's really weird, but...
But I saw that and I thought that was kind of interesting. And I was like, that's it. Like the 1 year that they decided to change,
move away.
The arena basically goes underwater.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting thing about them moving around like that. Things don't have homes. Mm-hmm. This was the first, you know, of the like, you know, the WrestleMania that wasn't in Madison Square Garden as like the 10 and the 20 and, you know, were kind of thing. And so this is the first time.
But I can understand that because that was as close as they could get as far as like one of those big football stadium type places, which, you know, Vince very famously wants to stay at those for WrestleManias.
Right.
So, you know, I can see why he did that, but I also I don't know why he did that for 29 and not 30.
Yeah.
Now, granted, 30 ended up perfect.
Yeah, it's like
we don't want to change
now. I don't want to do anything. Like
we don't want Marty to go in the time machine car and change anything about that.
Because like maybe 29 just had problems because everybody was cold,
except for in the ring, because apparently they were quite toasty. Yes, so as I learned,
so
it was interesting. But as far as the Hall of Fame, like I said, I see DDP.
Do you see DDP this year or just in the future? Because I definitely see him in the future. I don't know if you...
I would hope this year. Now, how do you feel about Hulk Hogan inducting Randy? Me too. I would have rather seen his brother do it.
Yeah. Like...
like, if anyone is going to, like, wax lyrical and, you know, bring us all on the verge of tears for Randy, it's probably going to be his brother.
Yeah.
The only bad thing about that would, he would be so compelled to read a poem. Or come up with a poem that, you know.
Honestly,
I'm sorry, he's not that good at poetry.
Honestly, okay? my pick would be, Steamboat.
Oh, that would have been perfect.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been good. Him or Flair.
Yeah. And it's just like,
But although Flair probably would show up drunk. So Steamboat.
No, Steamboat would have been my main pick to induct him. And just with Hogan, I kind of feel like that's another thing where Macho Man's better and Hogan uses Macho Man to catapult himself.
Yeah, much like Mega Powers.
He's like looking at Mega Powers, looking at his debut in like WCW, just right. Like looking at that whole working relationship, and I'm just hearing me like, one last time.
Yeah. It is just one of the things where it's like, I try to think of like, who all would be good at that, and then you realize, oh right, Randy was kind of a loner.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when he had Elizabeth around, because, you know.
Because of the thing.
Because he was protective over her, and he pretty much shut everyone out.
Yeah.
You know? So. Yeah, Hogan. If not Steamboat, if not Flair, if not his brother, fine. You know?
I mean, yeah, it's like, well, that's a thing. It's like, okay, but, you know, the finally, after all this time, Macho Man is finally inducted into the Hall of Fame, and Hogan gets to talk for 20 minutes.
Right. Yeah.
All right. That's cool, you guys.
They need to put JBL in.
I mean, I think JBL is a future Hall of
Famer. But, again, they're in Texas next year, so, bam.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't know exactly, like, celebrity-wise who would go in.
David Arquette.
You think enough time has passed where everyone's
I don't know, but
Or do you think he's sobered up enough?
I feel like David Arquette is... I mean, now that there is a celebrity wing, like, I feel like David
Might as well go with the celebrity
wing. Now that there's a celebrity ring and Mr. T is in it, David Arquette is the other...
Who would induct him?
Induct David Arquette?
Because they're not going to get Vince Russo.
Yeah.
I think he's like the only friend that he had in the wrestling business.
I don't know. Well, it's like, okay, so do you think like Bischoff will ever get inducted? And like, well, that's the thing. We're assuming Vince is going to get inducted at some point.
Yeah, but.
But that's going to be
Vince is probably going to probably shoot that down until, you know, after he's dead.
That's the thing. It's like, it's kind of weird as to like, okay, when does Vince get inducted?
Right.
And so does he get to be the postmortem guy? But yeah, but is Bischoff going to ever be inducted? I mean, second to Vince, he's probably done the most to affect the direction of the wrestling industry.
Yeah. Like, him, yeah, Vince, Bischoff, and Heyman need to be in the Hall of Fame at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I want to say go ahead and do it now. I guess now would be a good time as ever. You know, because there's no, like, I don't think there's any, like, bad blood between Bischoff now and the company.
I mean,
they're all just, you know, kind of doing their own separate thing.
It's like, I don't know what
Bischoff's
right now.
Like, pretty much not doing anything right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, if they're gonna do that, like, you know, put in guys that ran, because, you know, Vince Senior's in there, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you might as well put in the guy that, you know, actually had WCW on top for a while.
Yeah.
You know? And no one else, like, literally no one else could say they did that.
Yeah.
No one else, like, is anyone else before or after was floundering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I mean, I think at some point he should make the.
Okay. No, I'll agree.
So I don't know if this year, but
I mean, you know, if they put in what's his name? Cologne from last year.
Oh.
Yeah, if they put him in just so they can get, you know, hit some more footage for the network.
Yeah.
Then might as well put in the guy who gave at least like 35% to 40% of the content on the network. Might as well put him in there.
Yeah.
After the fact, even though legally they could have put it on there without him or whatever. Fine. Whatever.
Well. Is there anything else this week that you need to talk about?
Nothing that comes to mind right now.
Okay. Alright. Well, do you want to do, real quick, what's making you happy?
You go first, because I can't seem to remember what I had
said. Okay, alright. Wrestling-wise, what's making me happy is, a sudden, seemingly abundance of wrestling options.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the kind of thing where, like, yeah, they were always there, but because Raw has, and I don't know, and like, again, maybe it's me.
Yeah.
And I don't want to totally put on Raw because, like, you know, once we get in a rut, it's very easy for me to be like, nope, Raw's terrible as always for forever. You know, and so maybe I'm being unnecessarily hard on it, but like, Raw has just not, you know, been something I've looked forward to
right.
this past month as the way that I have, you know, in times past. Mm. And a lot of it's waiting for the Rumble.
Yeah.
Once TLC was just gonna be the thing, I was like, well, nothing is gonna, you know, be more exciting until the Rumble.
Right.
And so, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, some of it.
Right.
But, to be able to go, alright, well, tomorrow this is on. Let's check it out. Mm. Oh, pretty good. I don't know, that's exciting. That's exciting to see enough things out there that aren't hard to get to.
No. No, not at all. And so that being said, watch Wrestle Kingdom 9 already.
I'm working on it.
Jeez, you're so behind.
I am. I'm sorry, I'm behind on New Japan, you're right.
Yes. I mean, we all are, but yes. Just kind of like bounce off that, like, what do you think of the rumor that has been quote-unquote confirmed by Dave Meltzer that WWE, and specifically Raw, is going to go back to TV-14?
So, there's a rumor that WWE is going back to TV-14. There's also been a rumor that they're reinstilling the brand split.
Like a week.
Or a soft brand split. That's what they said, yeah. You know, they said brand split's coming back, then they kind of, you know, the back rumor went, well, the soft brand split. Okay, so my reaction to both of those things is, yes, initially, like, yeah, okay, that's interesting, that's exciting, let me see what you can do with that. But, there is no one thing that made older wrestling great that you lost and now wrestling is terrible.
Right.
Like, this will not fix your problems. A brand split will not fix, it'll help, but it will not fix your problems. A return to TV-14 will not fix your problems. There is no one magical switch to turn.
Just because you can say harsher words.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you have good ideas.
Yeah. There's no magical switch to turn. And if there is, it is dedication to quality storylines with consistency.
Yes.
And so, you know what? If this is a good jumping off starting point for you to go back to TV-14, fine. I'm a little worried that it's just gonna make, you know, they're gonna be like, oh, we can do this now and kind of lean into it.
And throw everything at the wall.
And you're like, you know.
Cause like a lot of people don't, like, I don't know if they just choose not to remember, but not everything in the Attitude Era was great.
No, okay.
It was so much crap.
There was so much crap, but here's the thing that really worries me about it is, like, I still have to, you know, when I meet new people and it comes up, I still have to start, I'm a wrestling fan, and then really quickly say, but it's okay because it's different now and they don't do all the things that made it really terrible trash television back then. You know, and like, if you just bring it back, You're going to make me more embarrassed to be a wrestling
fan. And see, here's the thing. They have to also, just throwing this out there, if they want to be TV-14, they can be TV-14, but they have to know that they're doing that in a more socially conscious society now.
Yeah.
You know? We're a lot more tolerant society than we used to be. And so if they go too far one way, there's going to be a lot of kickback.
I mean, there is a lot of amazing TV-14 television out there. There's a lot of amazing TV-14 storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to do that, and if you can improve your product by that, by all means, go for it.
But just don't use it as a crutch.
It is not a shock value.
No.
I don't want to, and I think most people don't want to watch shock value wrestling anymore.
Basically, like, we're giving them advice. Mm-hmm. Use this, TV-14 thing, if it's true, use it as a way to, broaden your creativity.
Yes.
Like, okay, now we have more to work with. Not like, let's go straight for the extreme and stick to that without, you know, deviation.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Use it as an enhancement, not as a crutch. That's what we're saying.
Yes.
Okay. Hey, what's making me happy this week? We got a movie club now.
We do.
That's a new thing that we're doing. Really an excuse for our friends to get together every couple weeks or so. So I'm happy about that. I'm excited about that. It's one of those things I've been wanting to do for a while, and I'm glad I'm finally pulling the trigger on that. I'm happy because this week is ending.
Yeah.
This has been a crap week.
It's been a week, you guys.
It's been tiring. I'm happy
for you guys, but like, both of us, independently of each other, have had a week.
Yeah. Also, something that made me happy, kind of wrestling related, but more podcast related, I can be a bit of a narcissist sometimes, you know? In the sense, like, I like to go and check and see if we got any ratings or reviews on Fast Freaking Sire. Went there earlier tonight, saw that some individual gave us a 1-star rating. Just one. But that left our overall rating at 4 3/4 stars. Our perfect rating is gone.
Somebody.
I said this, and I was at work.
It's probably Pat.
It was probably Pat. That ambiguous, anonymous jerk.
Yeah.
But I said that, and I voiced my displeasure aloud while I was at work, and the guard that works there, he listens to the podcast, so, hi Frank, hope you're enjoying. He went, and out of the kindness of his heart, gave us a 5-star rating, and posted the comment that I'm not sure if it's going to stick. They might get flagged. It just said, whoever gave this podcast a 1-star is an a-hole. He didn't say a-hole.
Well, I appreciate that.
So, thank you, Frank. We appreciate it, and here's your shout-out for giving us said review, whether or not it sticks or not.
Before we get into that segment.
Okay. I was just about to announce it, too.
Totally forgot. We need to mention, Tough Enough is coming back.
It is.
Yeah, did you not know that?
I knew that they posted season 1 on Netflix. Or on the network.
No, apparently more Tough Enough is happening.
With Steve Austin?
Don't know.
It needs to be Steve Austin. I mean, Steve Austin made
it. It needs to be Steve Austin because
he made the last one amazing.
Well, the thing is, like, I really didn't watch that to see who the new, you know, wrestlers would
because
be.
Because none of them were.
Martin was gonna do it. Martin was gonna win.
Until he got hurt.
Martin was gonna be great. Martin got hurt. But
the rest of them were just gonna go on the underground.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or at least two of them.
Well, okay. But here's the thing that my deepest hope is. And here's the thing, like, so Tough Enough is gonna come out, I think they said late 2015, probably. It's gonna be on USA.
So it's not on network.
It's not on the network.
See, I had heard it, like, if it was going to happen, it's going to happen on the network.
Well, I think USA has some sort of stake in it. It was a USA show.
Okay.
So, but I desperately hope, like, that one of the people applying in Tough Enough is Dolph Ziggler in disguise.
If he's still fired from the company?
Yes. And, like, this would mean no Dolph Ziggler for several months.
But if that's the payoff.
But if that is the payoff.
Holy crap.
And it's just Dolph Ziggler with, like, a pasted-on mustache.
Yeah.
And called, like, Zolf Diggler.
Best like, slow he just burn. Hasn't...
Ever.
And he hasn't, like, dyed his hair.
No, doesn't dye his hair.
So it's like...
Has, like, a vaudevillian mustache.
It's still, like, you know, noodly. But, yeah. But it's, like, burnt noodly.
No, like, completely the exact same hair. And speaks in a different accent every week.
Oh, I would love that. No, I feel like what it's going to do is they're going to probably film it from the Performance Center.
Yeah.
They're going to, absolutely, it's a wonderful facility. Might as well utilize it.
Yeah.
Probably still have, what's his name? The guy who was, like, the main coach on the last...
Something with a B.
Yeah, Hugh Morris.
Yeah.
I know that much. He's probably going to obviously be back because he's basically running the Performance Center now. Much to the chagrin of Ricardo, apparently.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. But I would still like to see, you know, Stone Cold host. Because he's proven to be a pretty good, like, reality show host. Because I know he has two on CMT.
Yeah.
That seem to be doing pretty well.
Well, he's
he's carved a nice little niche off.
Yeah, like, he did really well. It was a nice...
But Tough Enough was amazing. How he did that.
Yeah, it was a nice different version of that character. It was still that, like, right. You know...
Because everyone, like, went crazy. Like, oh, Tough Enough Season 1 is on the network. I was like, no. Talk to me when the one that Stone Cold hosted is back, and I will watch the crap out of that.
Yeah.
All just right. Out of the first episode in the end, where you, like, kick her off. But then again, they probably didn't want to bury a current talent.
I know, right?
So we'll post the one
that's okay.
where Josh Matthews looked like just floppy-haired dork.
That's okay.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Freaking Maven, no one cares about him. Yeah, that's right, it's time for the mail sack. Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack, let's all go inside. Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack. Alright, this comes from Jay on Facebook. He is bringing up some continuity stuff for us.
Okay.
Will the gentleman's bet the two of us made about the Ascension have to be called on account of Jerry Lawler's current medical condition and he's been moved to SmackDown, or will the one who picked him get to switch to either JBL or Booker? This is my thing, because it was my prediction that...
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I said that it was when Ascension,
It was gonna be when Ascension first appeared.
First appeared, so I think I've already lost.
Yeah, I mean, we both did,
but because... For those that, are confused right now, don't remember, or new, or you don't listen to our podcast very much, I made the prediction, like, months and months ago, that when the Ascension ever debuts, someone would say... The Ascension has ascended to Raw.
Yeah.
I think I said it was going to be Michael Cole. I think you said it was going to be Lawler.
I might have. I don't remember which one I said. I wrote it down.
I had said that someone was going to say that, and then me and you kind of took side bets on exactly who would say it.
Yeah.
I still think it's something Cole would say.
Well,
but now that Lawler has moved over,
yeah, Ascension.
Booker T is way more likely to say something dumb like that. How much did you groan when they made that announcement?
What, that was going to be Booker T?
Like, no, that Booker T is going to be the permanent host on the Raw commentary.
Honestly, like...
Because that's part of the reason why I stopped watching SmackDown, is when he was the commentating guy.
I've paid so little mind to commentary.
Fair enough.
Recently, like, it's not... I mean, I know people complain about it, and if I ever tune in, I'm like, yeah, that's awful. But, like, I've paid so little mind to it over the past, like,
and honestly, I think, Booker T was fine where he was on pre-shows.
Yeah.
You know, it still gave him something to do. Fine. And I don't think we need a three-person commentating booth.
I don't either.
We can stick to just, cause JBL's doing, he's fine as a heel commentator. Have Michael Cole on Raw because he's the quote-unquote voice of the WWE, whether you like it or not.
Yep.
And then on SmackDown, have Jerry and whoever else is out there.
That guy that's not Josh Matthews.
No, I was going to say that guy that's not Todd Grisham. Tom Phillips. Is that who it is?
No.
No, he's the... No. No. I don't know.
I don't remember who's on Fango.
Well, whoever it is, they kicked him off because it's now Michael Cole, Jerry, and who else?
I don't know. I haven't watched it yet because it's somebody new.
Yeah, they brought up somebody new for that.
Yeah.
And they kicked the other guy off, the guy that was on there. But yeah, like, Michael Cole doesn't need to be on both shows.
Well, but here's the thing, is like...
Yeah, he's the best one at it right now that they've got.
I don't understand it. For as much as they're trying to, like, recapture the past and, like, oh, this guy's a new that guy kind of thing. Right. I don't understand why they're not trying to make another King and JR team. And I don't understand, like I see it there in Michael Cole and JBL.
Yeah.
Like, quality side-wise, like, we can argue about the quality of it all day, but, like, the...
But they have a rapport.
Old wrestler who makes a, you know, a heel, great dynamic kind of thing. It's the... The whole thing is right there, and I don't know why they're not capitalizing on that, or at least trying to.
Right. No, absolutely. The team needs to be just JBL and Cole on Raw. Yeah. I think Cole's a lot better than what a lot of people, like, give him credit for, or discredit for. Like,
I think,
and again, like, you know, they have to do what their boss is asking.
That's the thing, is like, you know, yes.
Because Michael Cole has talked about it, and even he sounds annoyed with the app, and the network, and stuff like that.
Well, it's sitting there for 3 hours a week talking about wrestling, and that's your whole job. So, you know, we take it with a grain of salt when I say this, but that's a hard job. Like, you know, Michael Cole has to
Having your boss yell at
him. Yeah, and he has Vince in his ear all night doing, you know, insisting that he does things that we're all pretty sure are not best for business, but, you know, Vince wants them anyway. And at the same time, desperately trying to, you know, handle the comments of King and JBL.
Yeah.
And, you know, just, like, try and wrangle them into, oh, yeah, let's figure out what you mean by that.
Yeah.
So...
And by all accounts, like, he's helping people at NXT, too. Because, like, I've seen photos and stuff of him, like, on set with, like, NXT pre-shows or something with Renee Young or whatever, and just standing around there with, like, you know, a walkie-talkie in his hand, like, you know, helping produce and helping, you know, coach them through.
Yeah.
So he's, like, he's not only, like, holding his own spot and, you know, doing everything that his job requires him to do, he's also doing this, you know, helping people get better at this. Yeah.
But
I love Renee Young, but she's not a good commentator.
No, she is not.
No, she is not. Just a lot of, whoa, and, you know, all these side comments, and I'm like, okay.
That's the weakest part of NXT for me, honestly.
Yeah, no, I think she's a great interview. Like, she's good at that.
Yeah.
And so, like, her doing that on Raw, perfect. Amazing. I love it.
It was alright.
Okay, shut up. But her on commentating,
it's like, I don't...
Her and Alex Riley, like, putting, like, whatever pop culture references that don't fit, really drive me in. He quoted lyrics from Turn Down for What? During a match.
I'm just waiting for one of them, like, alright guys, cowabunga. Just waiting for it.
We'll wait till another Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie comes out. Then I'll say that, yeah.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire. We live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
Yep. And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send those over to our email. That's classyringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. You look us up there. Give us a rating of
5-star, Pat.
Yeah, Pat! Or write a review, that kind of stuff just really helps out the podcast.
And if you're listening to us on wrestling.insidepulse.com, drop us a comment on there, we'd love to hear from you.
Also, check us out on Facebook, easy interaction, just kind of keep up with the show, keep up with us.
Absolutely.
Until next time, stay classy, and huzzah.
Huzzah.